Om Shanti. Today is 25th May 2018, Friday. The magic of blessings. Today is Sakar Murli's blessing. May you be generous hearted and with the alaukic method of give and take, become constantly full of specialities. Explanation. When you go to a fair, Mela, you have to pay money for whatever you get. Before you receive anything, you first have to give. In this spiritual fair too, Ruhani Mela, you take something or other from the Father or one another. That is, you instill it into yourself. When you imbibe any virtue or speciality, all ordinariness, sadharanta, automatically finishes. By your imbibing virtues, weaknesses automatically finish. So this becomes a form of giving. Be generous-hearted in having such an exchange at every second, and you will become full of specialities. So in today's Vardhan, Baba is telling us to start this exchange, to start this give and take. Just as Baba is giving example of that fair. Whenever you have fair or mela in the world, and India is known as land of fairs and festivals, what they do there is exchange of things. So in the similar manner, in this spiritual fair, you have to exchange two things. One is specialities and virtues. Give virtue, take virtue. Give specialities, take speciality. Just as in those fair, they do this, in this spiritual fair, you have to do this. So in India, as you all know, there are so many fairs. Kumbh Mela, Pushkar Mela, or Sonpur Pashu Mela in Bihar. These are some of the biggest melas or fairs in India. So just as Baba is giving, is talking in terms of example, in those fairs they do exchange, give and take. So here also you have to do give and take. So we will just try to understand in this spiritual fair what all things are done. About 10 different things they do in those fairs or in those melas. If you see those fairs, for example, any fair for that matter, the first thing which is there, any fair for that matter, for example, if you take Kumbh Mela, which is one of the largest peaceful festival or fair around the globe. So any fair means gathering. The first thing about any Mela is gathering. Many people come. Those people may be Naga sadhus, those people may be sannyasis coming from different akhadas, those people may be tourists, or some people coming to the fair for their devotional practices, or some tantrics coming for unusual tantric practices. So, first thing about any fair in the world is about gathering. It's a huge gathering. That may be for the exchange of or sale of cattle, buffaloes, ox, anything, but they do gather. So the first thing in that mela or fair is gathering. Then we'll come to what happens in the spiritual fair. The second thing is most of the fair, this is gathering, most of the fair are pilgrimage. They're in fact Tirth Yatras, and usually these happen near the bank of river, like Kumbh Mela. If you out of the four places, anywhere it can happen, or sometimes there is a Ardha Kumbh Mela, or sometimes it's near lake. For example, in Rajasthan it is known as Pushkar Ka Mela. It is near the Pushkar Lake, which is one of the biggest fair in India, just after the Kumbh Mela, where there is an exchange or sale of many things. So So, the second thing about fair in fact is a pilgrimage. People may not go always for pilgrimage, maybe they have some intent of selling something or getting something, but still it is thought to be a sort of pilgrimage. So any fair for that matter is a pilgrimage. The third thing about fair is celebration. In any fair you will see people celebrating. There would be music, there would be songs, and there would be dances. At different places they would have arranged some songs, they may be devotional hymn songs, they may be some music, and that music may be very much particular to that area. For example, Adivasi festival or Adivasi Mela. So they have a very typical sort of music, very traditional music. If you go to the inner areas of Rajasthan, they would have different musics. So music, songs and dances, very particular dances. If you go in north, in different states, whether it is Karnataka, whether it is Kerala or Tamil Nadu or Andhra, so they will have organization of different dances, music and songs. So this is the third speciality of a fair. The fourth speciality of a fair is satsang. At different stalls you will see people gathering and they are hearing religious satsangs, whether they are Ramkathas or Bhagavad Kathas or Gita, Pravachan or anything for that matter. Such discourses organized at every level, different places in the that fair itself. So satsang. The next is bathing, holy dip. As I said, most of the fair are near the bank of river or some holy lake. So there would be holy dip, they will take holy dip there. And they will like, even if you take dip once and they say that lot of all your sins you will get rid of all your sins, there will sins you will be absolved. Sri Ramakrishna used to say he used to crack a joke. People used to come and tell him that it is believed in India that if you take a dip in the holy Ganges all your sins are absolved. But why it doesn't happen? So he used to say that, see, this is the river and near the river there are many trees. So the birds of your sins, before you take dip, they go and they sit on the branches of this tree. So you take a dip, maybe whatever sins you have that get absolved. But once you come back, those birds come back. So it is not about bathing in any particular river, but yes. This is a belief system which is going on in India that taking dip in the holy river makes you pure. So bathing, taking holy dip. So this is the fifth thing that happens in the fair. The sixth thing is about sale. The mention of this sale is in today's Murli. Now there was a time then they used to exchange things. But nowadays there is a sale. So this sale could be anything. As I said, the Sonpur Pashu Mela in Bihar, one of the biggest mela, or the Pushkar Mela of Rajasthan, one of the biggest melas. Here there is a sale of cattle, bullocks, different animals, camels. Like Pushkar Mela is the biggest camel mela, where they exchange camel, not exchange, probably they sell. So a huge sell of things happen in this mela. Now, along with sells, there is something known as competitions. You know, yeah? Yeah, so different competitions like big mustache competition, bridle competition, like it's a marriage mart. If you like somebody, you can marry that person. So it's this thing. Then there is something known as matka fodo competition. These all things are organized in the fair. So there are a lot of, like camel race, some of the fair they begin with the race, like camel race, buffalo race, like that. Some of the fairs will begin with the race itself. So, a lot of competitions and races are organized in the fair. Then, it devotion. Fair means devotion, means lot of aarti or all the paraphernalia of bhakti marg. Those all things are practiced in fair. You will see most of the temples are decorated. Huge number of people are gathering there and they are doing all sorts of devotions there, all devotional practices. So devotion is also one of the important things in fair. The next is procession. Procession, Prabhat Feri, as we have. In the similar manner, they will have this procession. Huge procession on the road. They will carry the statues of their deities or their Ishtadev or the pictures or some or other thing. There would be huge procession on the road about things. So, procession. So, this is 9th. 10th, anything you can suggest? Yeah, langar. So that is, in some of the fairs, you will have huge food malls, free for all. So all these things happen. Now, these are some of the things happening in the outside fairs. When I was reading this, today's Vardhan, I am reminded of a very beautiful thing said by Mark Twain about India. Probably no person has ever said such a thing about India ever. He said, India is the birthplace of human speech. India is the origin of human race. He said, India is the mother of traditions, is the grandmother of, is the mother of legends, is the grandmother of traditions, is the great grandmother of all the cultures. No country in the world can ever reach to the heights where India has reached. If you, Max Muller even has said something like this about India, there is hardly any problem in the world if you have and India doesn't have the solution. The depth which India has reached in spirituality, this Western culture can never reach that depth. And out of the many things which are very much unique in India, one of the unique things in India is this fair and festivals of India. So now coming to the spiritual part, what Baba is saying in today's Murli, this Vardhan, when you go to a fair, you have to pay money for whatever you get. Before you receive anything, you first have to give. In this spiritual fair also, you take something or other from the father or other, that is, instill it in you, into yourself. When you imbibe any virtue or speciality, all ordinariness automatically finishes. By your imbibing virtues, weaknesses automatically finish. So this becomes a form of giving. Be generous hearted in having an exchange at every place. So, coming to the first thing, this Madhuban itself is the biggest fair on this earth. This is the biggest spiritual gathering of all the Brahmins. That's why most of the Murlis would start with this. Today, Bab Dada is seeing the gathering of the holy swans. Today, the supreme commander has come to feel power in his supreme army. Today, the gardener is seeing his beautiful flowers. The garden of beautiful flowers. Most of the Murlis would start like this. Baba would see not just one soul, but huge gathering. And most of the time, if you see, Baba has said, he is seeing double meeting here. Those who are sitting in Sakar and those who are not sitting at all. I remember once, Baba made those people, residents of Sangam Bhavan, to stand up. At Shantivan, Baba said, those who are living in Sangam Bhavan, please stand up. Not a single person was there because they all were busy at the railway station. So Baba is remembering those people who are not there in the gathering only. He made them to stand and they were not there at all. So he remembers not those who are there in front of him, but those who are present, they are having invisible presence there. Somebody might be not there, but he is in his heart here. So that person is absolutely or very much near to him. It's not about just saying something like this, but internal heart connections. Not everyone who cometh and saith, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of my Father shall enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what Bible says, and which we have said time and again. Not everyone who cometh and said, just saying, my Baba, my Baba, my Baba, is not going to work. But who that doeth the will of my Father. And the will of the Father, if it says, you do have to do service at this time, it means it is you have to do service. Meeting doesn't mean it's not a physical meeting, it is an avyakta meeting. And those who want to enjoy avyakta meeting with avyakta Bab Dada, they have to make their sthiti, their stage avyakta. If the speaker is sitting here, an audience is sitting here, there won't be any connection. The audience has to move up. If the speaker is here, audience state of the mind should also be here. You know, in one of the conferences in Gyan Sarovar, once one judge of Rajasthan had come, and he was very well read. He knew all the Vedas, he knew all the scriptures, all the Upanishads, and most of the scriptures of the world. He said a very beautiful thing. He said, the richas of Vedas, the verses of Vedas, those Vedas have been composed in a very inspired stage of the mind by all the rishis of the yore. Our rishi munis, they were situated in a very higher platform of the mind. And if you want to understand what they have said, those Vedas, you have to elevate your mind to that level. Then only you can understand those Vedas. Otherwise you are sitting here and words are there and Sanskrit shlokas you know. That doesn't make you a learned pandit. That can make you a pandit but not jnani. That can make you an intelligent person, but that cannot impart you pragya. Pragya is entirely different thing. Pragya is not about learning. Pragya is not about wisdom even. Pragya is not about knowledge. Pragya is not about tidbits of information. Pragya is something else. Pragya one achieves in the stage of that inspired consciousness. In that stage of consciousness which is known as Turiya. Sopna, Jagrit, Sushupti. These are the three stages of consciousness. And they thought, in Samadhi one enters into the fourth stage. But what to name it? What name to give? So they said it is nameless. That's why they called it the fourth. The fourth means Turiya. The highest stage of consciousness. So, in that stage of consciousness, what you understand is something else. It is something like a medical student coming, entering into medical college, and the first day he reads the book of medicine or surgery. Then he finishes his MBBS and then he again reads the same book. His understanding is different. Then he finishes his internship and he reads the same book. His understanding is different. Then he enters into post-graduation. He finishes post-graduation. His understanding is different. Same thing. Then he enters into practice as a resident under somebody. His understanding is different. Then he starts his own practice. His understanding is different. Then 10 years of his practice, 20 years of his practice. Now he is somewhere far away. And when he had started, he is still reading probably the same book. But now, it has got entire different connotation for him. Different understanding. In the similar manner, the first day somebody comes in Gyan, he reads Murli. The same Murli. After 7 days, then he meets Baba. He goes back. Then he again spends some time in the center, going to center, listening to Murli. His understanding widens, deepens. Then he comes again here for Seva. He stays here for Seva. Goes back. His understanding widens. then some jerks, some shocks of Brahmin life, then some practical experiences, some knocks here and there, some thirsts here and there, some boxing here and there, some conflicts, some trials and tribulations of Brahmin life, and now he's little seasoned or matured, and now but reading the same Murli. Now his understanding is different. So it is the evolution of consciousness. It is the evolution of wisdom, it is the evolution of knowledge. One progresses internally and your knowledge increases. So as I was saying, that judge was saying that Vedas have come out from that highest stage. That's why Vedas are known as apurushiya. No human being has composed them, they say. They have come out, they have descended. That's what they say. So this is a spiritual gathering. This is a spiritual fair. This is a spiritual mela where we have entered into spiritual gathering. So first intoxication is this, that this is a spiritual fair, and all those who have gathered here, they are the chosen souls of the world. They are not ordinary souls. Each one of you is chosen, picked up by one father. Probably in one village only one person is picked up. There were so many intelligent of them, but they were not picked up by him. But only one person, one mata or one some brother, he was taken up from that gathering of the world. Jesus Christ has said to his disciples, "You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. I have picked you up from this world because you do not belong to this world." He comes to different disciples. He comes to Peter. He keeps his hand on the shoulder of that Peter and he says, "Follow me." And that Peter gives up everything and starts following him. He doesn't understand how this is happening. He goes to John, Simon, and he says to John, "Come and follow me," and he starts following him. He goes to what yet another disciple and tells him, "Have you seen me before?" He says, "I have not seen you." He says, "Remember that time when you were sitting under a fig tree and you had the vision of that light, and I am that light. Come and follow me." And he starts following him. So he says, "I have picked you up from this world, each one of you. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you." Even Baba has said in some of the Murlis, "You have not chosen me. You did not have even the intellect to understand who is God. I have come and I have picked you up. For you do not belong to this world. You are not for this world. You are for me. I have chosen you." So each one of the Brahmin is so precious here, has been chosen by one Godfather. And this is the gathering of those chosen few. This is the gathering of the choicest people of the world. This is the gathering of the salt of the earth. The greatest men of the earth, the greatest souls of the earth. This is the gathering of those souls who were once the most, they had achieved the highest level of purity or highest level of human consciousness. This is the gathering of those chosen few who had received this knowledge and cycle before. So the first spiritual intoxication we should have is, our gathering is the biggest. No matter they have many weaknesses, many imperfections, many failings, many flaws, many defects in their nature, in their sanskar, in their swabhav. Somebody is irritable, somebody is angry, somebody is peevish most of the time, somebody is picking up fault every time. But no matter, but they have three specialities. One, they have recognized one father. Second, they have adopted purity. And third, they have surrendered their lives mentally or in the gross manner, whatever. So first is this. Second is pilgrimage. This gathering, this spiritual fair is a sort of tirthayatra. And we all are tirthayatris. Two tirthayatras, one subtle, one gross. Madhuban itself is the greatest pilgrimage place of this planet Earth. So all those who are coming here are pilgrims. Second pilgrimage is the subtle, which we do mentally. So in this spiritual fair, we are constantly having spiritual pilgrimage. The third thing is celebration. This is the only place in the world where death is also a celebration. This is not the place where people fast, but people feast. This is not about fasting, but this is about feasting. This is a spiritual dance. Everybody is dancing, everybody is singing, and everybody is having a spiritual symphony, a melody. Such thing you will not find. You will go to those sannyasis, they are dry sannyasis, lacking life and luster. But this is a spiritual radiance. There is a spark of spiritual luminosity here. So, this is the life of celebration. This is the life of dancing. Here are the dancing prophets of the world. Here are the dancing incarnations, avatars of the world. Here are the dancing masihas of the world. So, kuch nahi aur. So, dancing, celebration. So, Brahmin life or Brahmin gathering is the life of Nagaraj Bhai, celebration. So this is, we have to celebrate, we have to dance. That eternal dance should go on and on and on and on within, and we should feel that dance which is going on. That because this is not the life of sorrow or suffering, we have given up that world. This is a new life, this is a new birth. Unless and until you take new birth, you cannot reach the kingdom of God. So, this spiritual fair is a fair of celebration. So we should be celebrating all the time. Are we? That is a question one has to ask oneself. Or we are lost in the cacophony of the world, or we are lost in the din and clamor of the world, and we are lost in this hustle and bustle of the world, and not enjoying that inner celebration, not listening to that inner music, that inner symphony of love, of peace, of joy, of bliss, of rapture, of ecstasy. So this is a life of celebration music. Then next is satsang. Here you have satsang all the time. The greatest satsang is the sangha of the truth, and the satsang of the highly spiritually minded souls. Can you get such satsang in the world? Impossible. This is the spiritual fair where you get this divine satsang. Just at this very moment, now it is almost 6 o'clock. Go in the world and see what the worldly people are doing. Walking, jogging, reading newspaper, sipping tea, or chit-chatting, sleeping, lost in slumber, and what else? Going in temple, oh, that's actually little better, going to temple, but not reading newspapers, and they are lost in the worldly discussions. Or if you go to some houses, the fight starts right in the beginning of the day. The day starts with fight, husband and wife, they are fighting and fighting. There was a husband who was fighting with his wife, and their fight continued for 3 hours, and the neighbor came and said, why are you fighting for? The wife said, I don't know how the fight started. I don't remember from where, from what point the fight started. And husband said, even I don't remember how it started, but it is going on and on. So this is how the worldly life starts, with a bang. And here, look at the spiritual life, how it is starting. It is starting with meeting with God. Ishwar se humne mulaqat ki hai. With that song, the life is starting. Giving sakash to the whole world, going into that highly spiritual state of the mind, and then coming and sitting and meeting and listening or experiencing the divine vibrations, tasting the divine nectar, relishing the divine beauty of spiritual knowledge amidst this gathering of beautiful souls. So this is about satsang, and we listen to spiritual knowledge, the nectarine knowledge of spirituality. the greatest knowledge of spirituality. Nobody ever has given such knowledge, and God is giving this knowledge. If you go to the outside satsang, they keep on repeating the same thing. The same scriptures, the same Upanishads, the same Bible, the same Quran. But here, there is so much variety. No two Murlis are similar. Every day, new material, chop chini, vakhar. Baba uses different words. Halwa. This is the divine halwa which you are served on the platter every day. Yeah? With lot of butter. So satsang. Then? What is this? Dip. Holy dip. So this is a bathing in that holy river. You know, the river of seva is flowing. Dip into that and wash off all your sins. The river of God's love is flowing. Take a dip into this God's love and get purified. There is so much joy, so much bliss, so much ecstasy in this dip. This is the real dip, in fact. By dipping into that, by taking dip in that river, many for ages together we have been doing and nothing has happened. You take a dip and nothing happens. You take a dip, you come out as it is. Even that. For example, in Har Ki Pauda, in this Haridwar, they say, if you are going to take dip from my side also. Because if you take dip even once in Har Ki Pauda, means your moksha is confirmed. So Pauri. So your moksha is confirmed. Because those are the only four places in India or the world where those nectar drops had fallen down. Haridwar, Ujjain, Nasik, Allahabad, Parag. These are the four places where that Jayant, you know Jayant, the son of Indra, he took that Amrit Kalash and he started running. And all the demons started following him, and four drops fell on the earth. So these four, and he ran for 12 days. So that's why every Kumbh Mela is after 12 years. Because 12 days are equivalent to 12 years here. They say like that. That's why Baba says lot of hodgepodge. Lot of tikadam, agdam, bagdam in this thing. So, yeah. Gapode, yeah. These are all fairy tales, tall tales. Okay. So, bathing. So this is in fact the real bathing. You come out and you dip into this. Pratasmaram iridhi sanspuradatma tattvam. Satchit sukham paramahansa gatim turiyam. This is the real sukh. The turiya, the fourth stage, paramahansa. There are four categories of sannyasi. The fourth one is paramahansa. So that paramahansa stage, the highest hansas, the holy swans, they achieve this stage. So this is known as holy dip in knowledge, in seva, in God's love or whatever. Then satsang. Nay, what is this? Then what was this? Sale. This is sale. So here, you know, Baba says this is a good system, barter system. So in this today's Vardhan, Baba has talked about two things. Exchange virtues, exchange specialities. Now what are the other things we have to exchange? There are many other things. Knowledge. Whenever you meet somebody, instead of discussing what Tom, Dick and Harry said, discuss what Baba said in today's Murli. Instead of discussing what is going on in some other department, better to discuss what Baba said in today's Murli, what Baba said in today's Vardhan. If some phone call comes, Ramnath Bhaiji always says, when you call somebody and he is a non-BK, tell him that we have heard somewhere in some book some good thing. It is like this. Have you heard? It is a very good thing. Don't tell them because they are not following knowledge. So tell them in that manner. I was reading one good book and it is said like that. So Ramnath Bhaiji always says this. So discussion of knowledge. So exchange of knowledge. Third. Fourth. Exchange of godly love. Tell people, narrate how God helped you, how Baba helped you, how you felt his canopy, the most worst situations of this life. You know, some of the devotee recently of Satya Sai Baba, he gave his huge experience. Now Satya Sai Baba is no more in body, but they say that we feel his presence. I was about to meet with an accident, but suddenly I saw Satya Sai Baba's figure in front of me. and Baba came and saved me. So these devotees, they get such experiences that their gurus or anybody, they suddenly come and save them. So cannot we narrate such events? Are not our life teeming with such experiences of God's love? Has not God given us so many experiences in our lives? Should we not share them with others? So exchange of knowledge, exchange of God's love, exchange of specialities, exchange of virtues. Fifth, exchange of blessings. Then exchange of happiness. The divine ecstasy that is flowing in your mind. The river of happiness, which is Sarita of happiness, which is flowing in your heart. Let it go out. Let it inundate the world. Let there be a splurge of happiness in the world. Let the world get flooded and get drowned in this divine and spiritual happiness. At present, the world is drowned in unhappiness, sorrow, suffering, misery. Can we fill this world with happiness? Can we contribute like that squirrel of Sri Rama in contributing, building the bridge from this Kaliyug to that Satyug? Yes. So exchange happiness, exchange vairag, exchange tapasya, exchange tyag, exchange powers. If you are more powerful, you have to exchange your powers with others. I am not talking of those Bahubalam and Buddhibalam. We are talking about spiritual powers. Can spiritual energy be exchanged? This is known as spiritual transference. Can it happen? Yes, it can happen. Three ways it can happen. Nayan Diksha, Sparsha Diksha, and Mantra Diksha. These are three types of Dikshas. One is Nayan Diksha, Shaktipat. You just sit and impart power. That is known as just with your eyes. Your eyes, you will become windows and you will emit spiritual energy and spiritual power, and you can fill anybody with spiritual power. That is known as Nayan Diksha. Second is Sparsha Diksha. You touch and you impart all your spiritual power. Sparsha Diksha. Then Mantra Diksha. You put some mantra. These are the three types of dikshas told in the world. Or sort of Shakti Path, they are known as. You transfer energy. There was Vivekananda when he was a boy, Narendra, and he felt once that he has achieved a lot of spiritual powers. And one of his friends, Rakhal, who later on became Swami Brahmananda, that Rakhal as a boy came and he said, "I am having knee pain." Vivekananda, Narendra thought, "Let me try my spiritual powers." And he placed his hand on his knees. And he felt as if all energies are going. And after some time, Rakhal said, "My pain is gone." So Narendra was so happy, and merrily he went to his master. And he told, "This is what I did." Ramakrishna said, "You fool, did I give you all the energies for this useless purpose? To help others getting rid of their knee pains? Or this is to help the world with spirituality? Don't misuse spiritual powers for such reasons." So, satsang. So we were talking of energy exchanges. Then next, competition. Race. Which race you have to do? Yad ki race. Don't try to go ahead of others in other things, but rather in name, fame and glory, but rather I have to remember Baba more. I have to do more tapasya. I should have more vairag. I should have more tyag than others. If you really want to have you can't live without competition. This is a cutthroat competition in the world. Wild goose chase for things. So, can we have this competition of going ahead in yad, in remembrance, in becoming ashariri, in becoming bodiless, in having spiritual experiences, in spiritual transports, in achieving highest level of consciousness? What Baba says. Then next, procession. Devotion. So that there is a devotion, here it is love of God. There they cry out of devotion. They do all sorts of things. And the more the people in front, they do more. Otherwise they will not cry. But if there are 10 people are watching, all the tears of God love will come. These all things happen. Huh?
They want audience.
They want audience to witness their God's love. Otherwise, nothing is happening. But when audience is there, something is happening, body is shivering, and there are tears, ashtasatvik bhav are getting created. So many things happen. What is that? I don't know. But this is what there. For example, there is a priest in a temple and he does puja every day. Okay? And nobody watches him. So he comes, patapat he does his puja and he finishes his temple work. Now there is a temple festival. Okay? And the huge audience is there. And now he is his walk slowly. His aarti is now like this, very slowly. Slowly, 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 slowly. Not just the statue, but those little padukas which are kept. Even that he is doing like this, like this, like this. And now there are some other things here, even that he is doing like this. Otherwise he will move just in one go. But when there is a huge audience and everything changes, otherwise he will chant the mantra so fast. But when there is a huge audience, slow, slowly. And then suddenly he will go in dhyan or in deep samadhi. And you pick him, but he is not going to willing to come down. You try to pull, but so all these extraordinary things happen to the priest. So when audience is there, so they do all these things here, those naga sannyasis, you know, they roll and go. Otherwise, if nobody is watching, just imagine in that Kumbh Mela, audience disappears suddenly and he is left alone and there is a temple. Suddenly he will walk and go. But now there is an audience, so he will roll. Okay? So, so they do all sorts of things in that devotion. Our devotion, our lives, our love for God has nothing to do with this devotional paraphernalia. This is real. This is a heart-to-heart connection with God. You don't have to make a show of your, I have done yoga for 4 hours. I got up today at 2 o'clock and I sat till 4 o'clock. 2 hours. And then all others people, less purusharthi. This contempt. They get up at 4 o'clock. I can't even see that. I don't know what experience they might be getting. They just come to Murli and listen Murli and go away because, and we are sitting and churning Murli for 4 hours. They are not even churning Murli. So, spiritual, you know, ego itself sometimes become a barrier. So, our devotion, our love for God is not, has nothing to do like this. Then, procession. What procession? This is in fact has to do with Pratyakshata, revelation of one father. A day will come, there would be procession in the whole world and the world will see that these are the people, Allah Lok, they achieved, they understood, they got and we could not. And there would be lahar and there would be wave of repentance around the globe. These are the people and they would see angels, procession of angels. Just as here also, when there is a Prabhat ferry or all the BKs are going with matas carrying those urn, kalash. And people say, who are they? What are they? I remember in my life, when I was in 10th standard, once I had seen few Brahma Kumaris coming. I didn't know what is Brahma Kumaris. I never had even contact with Brahma Kumaris for a long time after that. But I had seen those 4 or 5 sisters coming, wearing white. And I could see a beautiful radiance on their face. And I had composed one poetry at that age. Just wrote something about them, one page, and it is lost somewhere. But the purpose of telling is that these sisters of ours, they have got something, some difference from the world, and they are bound to make some impact on others. They may not say, and even others, those who are influenced by them, they may not say. I didn't tell this to anybody. I just wrote a poem on them and left it because I was just struck by their purity. I didn't know what is brahmacharya, what is purity. That's much later, after 2 years, when I read Mahatma Gandhi and I understood from chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Brahmacharya what is purity. But this is much before that in 10th, when I saw them and I felt there is something, some deep attraction in them. So there would be procession. Even now it is there and one day it will be in the gross form and in the subtle form as well. And the last is, in this spiritual gathering, there's a huge langar, food, Brahma Bhojan. So whosoever tastes of this Brahma Bhojan, love of God has to enter into that heart. If you want to make anybody God's best, you have tried all this, nothing has worked, so go for this. In Hindi they say that if you want to enter a man's heart, you have to enter through his stomach. If you want an entry into man's heart, the way is stomach. Don't teach him knowledge, he may not stomach it. Don't teach him this godly love. Give him food. That's it. Give him gifts and saugas and all those things. And one day automatically he will become Baba's. So these are the 10 different things of spiritual fare. One thing Baba has focused is exchange of virtues and specialities. Om Shanti.